ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 39, entitled Bhakti Yoga, Text Number 4. Kim chitra machyuta tavaita dashesha bando. Daseshvananya sharaneshu yadatma sattvam. यो रोच यत् सह मृगै स्वयमीश्वराणाम् श्रीमत् किरीट तट पीडित पादपीट किम् वॉट चित्रम् वंडर Achyuta, O infallible Lord, Tava, Your, Etat, This, Ashesha Bandho, O friend of all, Daseshu, for the servants, Ananya Sharaneshu, who have taken no other shelter, Yat, which, Atma Sattvam, intimacy with you. Yaha, who, Arochayat, acted affectionately. Saha, with, Mrigai, the animals, monkeys. Swayam, yourself. Ishwaranam, of the great demigods. Srima, effulgent, Kirita, of the helmets, Tata, by the edges, Pidita, shaken, Padapita, whose footstool. Translation and purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. My dear infallible Lord, My dear infallible Lord, it is not very astonishing that you intimately approach your servants who have taken exclusive shelter of you. After all, during your appearance as Lord Ramachandra, even while great demigods like Brahma were vying to place the effulgent tips of their helmets upon the cushion where your lotus feet rested, you displayed special affection for monkeys such as Hanuman, because they had taken exclusive shelter of you. Purport. The devotees of the Lord become completely successful by the Lord's causeless mercy. Sometimes Lord Krishna accepts a portion of subservience to his great devotees, as with Nanda Maharaj, the gopis, Bali Maharaj and others. Although demigods like Lord Brahma were standing in line to touch their helmets to the Lord's foot cushion, still Lord Ramachandra awarded his most intimate friendship to subhumans such as monkeys headed by Hanuman. Similarly, Lord Krishna's affection for the deer and cows and even for the trees of Vrindavan is well known. Further, the Lord gladly drove the chariot of Arjuna and acted as the messenger and faithful subordinate of King Yudhishthir. Such devotees have no need for elaborate Jnana Yoga systems or the process for achieving mystic powers. All these devotees are represented here by Sri Uddhava, who frankly informs the Lord that the sophisticated systems of philosophical speculation and mystic yoga are not appealing for one who has developed a taste for direct loving service to the Lord. Om Akyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this chapter we just started yesterday. It's entitled Bhakti Yoga. It's very important for all of us because we are trying to practice the rules and regulations and activities of Bhakti Yoga process, and the difference between Bhakti Yoga and other processes of self-realization is that the means and the end is same in Bhakti Yoga. So what we are doing now to achieve the perfection, and even after achieving the perfection, the activities remain the same. But the amount of reciprocation we feel and we get is different. So initially, our devotional service, our activities in Bhakti Yoga may be mechanical and we get taste here and there. But after achieving perfection, after reaching the stage of Uttama Bhakti, pure Bhakti, then we can feel the real taste at every second. So as it is said in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Anya Vilashita Shunyam Gyan Karma Dhyanavritam Anukulyana Krishna Anushilanam Bhakti Uttama. So the pure Uttama Bhakti platform, or the perfection that we want to achieve by following this process of Bhakti Yoga, is getting rid of the tinges of karma and jnana. Jnana karma adhyanavritam. So this covering, these tinges, that these contaminations that we want to remove them by this powerful process of bhakti. So unless we have these contaminations, we can't feel the full effect of bhakti yoga. So, and bhakti yoga is in itself so powerful that it can destroy all the traces of karma, jnana and any other desire that we may have. So here, in last chapter, as we saw, chapter 28, that was entitled Jnana Yoga. So there, Lord Krishna explained the process of Jnana Yoga elaborately to Uddhava, his dear devotee. But at the beginning of this chapter, Uddhava expresses that this process of Jnana Yoga is little difficult. So just tell me about some simpler thing. So then Krishna, in this chapter, he is telling about Bhakti Yoga. So, and this is a very tricky thing, that in Bhakti Yoga, that it's easy and at the same time topmost. As Prabhupada says at many places, it is simultaneously simple and sublime. So it is topmost, but it is simple also. So simple in a way that we can see, we just have to chant Hare Krishna, see the deities, take prasadam. So these activities in itself are not very difficult, but what is difficult is application, how to avoid various offenses that we may make. As Deen Bandhu Prabhu was here, he was telling us that in his lectures, that the process is simple, but to avoid offenses is difficult. So for that, to avoid offenses, we should know what the offenses are, first of all. So then we can, if we know, oh, this is the thing we are not supposed to do, so then we can avoid them. So here Krishna is now explaining about Bhakti Yoga. So bhakti yoga is simple and all other things are provided if one does bhakti yoga. So as in Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janyatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayat Haitukam. This Jnan and Vairagya, these are very the two very important things for a transcendentalist, for a person who is on the spiritual path, who wants to develop the spiritual consciousness. For him, these two things are very important, Jnana and Vairagya, this detachment and knowledge. But by Bhakti Yoga, they are automatically provided. And how it happens is, if you just follow the process of chanting and hearing, so then the real knowledge comes. The real knowledge is, of course, the preliminary knowledge is that we are not the body, we are the soul. So we are separate from the body. This is the beginning. This is the beginning. This is the first step. But above that is the knowledge that we are, that soul is a part of Krishna. So we are supposed to serve Krishna. So that's the Sambandh Jnana. So that knowledge is automatically provided when we follow the process of hearing and chanting. And another thing, the Vairagya or detachment. And that is also very natural. It naturally comes. We don't have to artificially renounce things. It will come very naturally from within the heart. So how it happens is detachment, that we get attached to Krishna. So then we are automatically detached from the material things. So that's how it happens in bhakti. And there are various qualities that a devotee achieves by following the process of bhakti yoga. As in Bhagavatam it says, Yasyati bhaktir bhagavat yakinchana sarvai gunaistatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahatguna manorate nasati davatogami. That one who performs this process of bhakti yoga, he develops all the good qualities of demigods. Now demigods, if we happen to meet one of the demigods, these days they don't, even if they come we can't see, but in Kali Yuga they prefer not to come here on earth planet. But if we see their beauty, beautiful features and the qualities they have, it's really astounding that demigods, you know, feel human beings on earth, they have very few qualities as compared to them. But still actually they are hankering, they want to take birth on earth planet as human, because as human being we can follow this process of bhakti very easily. So the point here is that by practicing this bhakti yoga process, we develop all the good qualities. And harav avaktasya kuto madguna. So, but if one who is not following bhakti yoga, he may have some qualities, but they are just temporary. They will vanish very soon. Manorate nasati davato bahi, because his mind is running after illusory things. So those qualities which are provided by Krishna will automatically go away very soon, like that. So as we see the example given in Shastra is of Mrigari, the hunter. So he was from his childhood he was habituated to kill animals, or actually half kill. So he would pierce them with his arrows and he would leave them in pain till they die. So that was his practice. So that means he was really not compassionate, or other extreme of compassionate person. But by the mercy of Narad Muni, he got this bhakti process and he accepted him as his guru, and he started chanting and following bhakti yoga process, and then automatically all the good qualities came. He was endowed with all good qualities. And then when later on Narad Muni came with his friend Parvata Muni to visit him, so then he ran from his heart towards Narad Muni. But while he was running, taking steps over here and there, and he was trying to avoid stepping over ants. So the same person who was so uncompassionate. So he became so compassionate that he was not even ready to step over an ant. So that's what bhakti yoga does. All the qualities are manifested automatically if we apply the process very nicely. So, and this bhakti yoga process is not an artificial process. It's a natural process. The soul, that's the nature of soul to do this devotional service. So as we know, these famous examples, the word dharma. Dharma means the essential occupational duty. So what's the dharma of sugar? To be sweet, you know. Of water? To be wet. If it's not wet, it's not water, you know. So same way, the dharma or the nature of the soul, the spirit soul, jiva, is to serve. But by this covering of different modes of nature, the jiva forgets who to serve. So, as Prabhupada used to say, if you don't serve God, you will serve dog. So, as simple as that. So in material world, all the living entities, because of covering of illusion, they are serving so many masters. Except Krishna, they are serving everyone else, and they are not getting satisfied. They are not getting any satisfaction. Some satisfaction here and there, but not complete satisfaction. So all this happens because of the influence of modes of material nature. So by the influence of modes of material nature, we develop this conception of I and mine. So as in Bhagavatam, 5th canto, it says, Rishabhdev says, Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. So this, when this illusion comes, we think in terms of I and mine. So I am Indian, you know, and this country is mine. So like that. So there's different conceptions like that. So all our activities depend on what we put. If we have a fill in the blanks, I am dash. So what we put there in the blank, that will decide what activities we will do. So a person, if he says, you know, I am a doctor, so then he acts like that, you know. So he thinks he is the doctor, then he would act like that. So I am a footy player, so he would act like that. His activities would be, you know, to develop those skills and further go on like that. I am an Indian, I am a man, so if I think I am a man, I would act like a man, you know. So whatever we put in that blank, our activities will be according to that. But Srimad Bhagavatam says, the real identity or the real our real self is when we say, I am Krishna's servant. So that is the right answer. We will get full marks if we put, I am dash, I am Krishna's servant. Then we get full marks. So then our activities are like servant. And if we put anything else in the blank, our activities would be like the master. We are trying to be the master of material nature and whatever we serve it. And I am dash, and dash is mine. So what should we put there? What is actually mine? So here, people think, you know, this house is mine, this, you know, wife, husband, children, they are mine, you know, this bank balance is mine. So many things people want to put. They want to accumulate as much as possible. So if you give in an exam, dash is mine, so they would say that this blank is very short. You give more space, few pages of, you know, few pages of space, then we can write, this is mine, that is mine. The CD player, iPod, this is mine, my TV, television is mine, like that. They want to just fill the hope, and they want to add more to that category. But there is actually only one thing that is ours. And what is that? That is our, the loving devotional service that we can do. So I am Krishna's servant and my privilege to serve Krishna, that's mine. So my devotional service for Krishna, that's mine. As in one place in purport of Ishopanishad, it's written, actually there's a, all living entities have a unique service which no one else can do. So this is very nice to know. And this, if we meditate on this, this we can get rid of this envy. Because we all the time envy, you know, oh, this devotee is doing this service, I can do better. Same service, I can do better. But actually there is one service, no one else can do better than it. So that's the, that what we want to know by this process of bhakti yoga. Our real nature, our real swarupa, that what is our service for Krishna. So after following the orders of spiritual master and authorities, we get purified and then we are established in our real constitutional position. So this, and this can get, we can get rid of envy, which is the cause of a living entity to be in this material world. The cause is envy. As in Bhagavad Gita, we know the, it's given, Ichha dvesh samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. So what is the cause? How does the living entity come in the material world? Because of ichha dvesh, his desire to enjoy separate from Krishna, and the dvesh, the hatred or the envy, that why is Krishna enjoying, I want to enjoy. So that's the reason given. So if we understand, oh, our original, I am Krishna's servant and my service to Krishna is only that, you know, I can do. So we have been allotted so many services. So if we just think in a way that, oh, this service no one else would do, and we do it with full heart for Krishna, so then we have a real good result of performing that service. We can do the same service in different mood. And Krishna is called Bhavagrahi Janardhan. He takes the mood, what mood you are offering that service to him in. So he doesn't want anything, you know. He is Atmaram, he is self-satisfied. Lakshmi Sahasra Sambrahma Sevyamanam. He is being served by so many goddesses of fortune. He doesn't need our tiny service. But he's still after our love. So the mood that we do a service in is very important. Thinking that, oh, this is our service for Krishna, no one else would do it, and if we give our best like that. So and here a very nice verse. Here today's verse, it's given that how Krishna has this special affection. Krishna has a very special affection for such devotee. If a devotee gives his best, then Krishna gives his best. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham mam vartamanu vartante manushya partha sarvasa. So as one approaches Krishna, he will reciprocate in the same way. Actually, he gives more. If you take one step towards Krishna, you will take 10 steps or even more steps. But the point is as we approach him, he would come. So if we feel that Krishna is not giving enough mercy, that means we are not doing enough. We don't want mercy enough. So we have to we have to improve our mood for doing devotional service. And here example is given of few examples are given in purport that of these pure devotees who they are very dear to Krishna. Nanda Maharaj, Gopis, Bali Maharaj, Hanuman, like that. So these examples are given. And he is speaking to Uddhava. Uddhava is very dear to Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, as we know, this term is given Haridas, the servant. Hari is Krishna, Das is the servant. So it refers to few devotees, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Uddhava, and there is mention in 10th canto, gopis are saying, Idam Adrir Hari Dasa Varyo. Who is the best among the servants is this mountain, Govardhan. So Govardhan is the example that we should follow of how to do bhakti properly, in a best way. So what are gopis saying? How does Govardhan do his service? So he is providing all facilities for Krishna to do to perform his pastimes. So that's one thing. He, you know, there's fruits and nice pleasure groves and waterfalls and everything. So Govardhan Hills provides everything for Krishna's pleasure. But at the same time, Govardhan is called Haridas Varya, or the topmost servant, because he also provides all necessities to Krishna's devotees. Not only to Krishna and Balram, but all the devotees of Krishna and Balram, like cows and, you know, cows and his gopis, gopas. It provides all facilities, all service to the devotees of Krishna. So that's what we have to learn, is we have to serve Krishna and serve Krishna's devotees. Then we can actually follow Govardhan Hill's example, Haridas Varyo. So he's the topmost servant, so we have to follow that mood. So as we were discussing that, if we feel that we are not receiving Krishna's mercy enough, so that means we have to increase the mood. So it's like, you know, it's how much thirst we have, that much, you know, water we can take. So if a thirsty person goes to a well and he's a little bit thirsty, so he puts a cup in the well and drinks and he gets satisfied, you know, that much, he needs just that much. But if a person, he has just visited maybe Melbourne in the summer season, or even a desert in Australia for a month, so he is like really thirsty. He will put a bucket in and he will drink the whole bucket. But a person who is really, really thirsty, he'll just dive in the well and just drink as much water as he can. So that's what bhakti is. Bhakti is like a well of nectar, or an ocean of nectar, and there is no bottom. There is no limit to it. Anandam buddhi vardham pati padam purnamrita swadham. So anandam ambudhi, this ambudhi, or ocean of nectar, ocean of joy, ocean of bliss, is, it increases at every step. Param vijayate Shri Krishna sankirtan, by chanting and hearing process, this ocean increases. So it's up to us how much we want to dive into it. There is enough nectar, actually. So it's up to us how much we are thirsty for that nectar. So we have to increase this thirst and hunger for Krishna consciousness, for bhakti yoga. And that is only possible by association of those devotees who are hungry and thirsty and greedy after Krishna, not after anything else, but after Krishna. So what it says, lohyam, the greed, we have to increase that, and that's the price we pay to get Krishna consciousness like that. So if you see everyone has mobile phones, you know, and if we go to a place, a regional area, so there's sometimes no signal, you know, no signal, and, you know, we say there's no signal coming. So the device is fine, there's iPhone, that's fine, perfect, new iPhone 4, has 5 also come, I don't know, it's a new phone, very nice, the device is okay, but there's no signal like that. So same with, we feel like that. But if we are in the city, there's enough signal in the city, there's many towers and which, you know, emit signals with different rays. And if we are still not receiving signal, means there's something wrong with the device. So when then we go to a service center and we say that it's not receiving signals, so please correct it. So in the same way, Krishna is actually all the time he is emanating this rays of mercy, and we are like this device, mobile device. So if we feel that, oh, I am now in a place, I am not receiving those signals, so that's not correct. So Krishna, because he is unlimited, his mercy rays go everywhere. So there is something wrong in the device. So we have to go to the service station, mm-hmm. service center. So this ISKCON is like this service center, and this best technician is the Guru. Srila Prabhupada and other Gurus in Parampara. So they can actually fix us, fix our problem. So if we are not receiving enough rays, there are bars, 1, 2, 3, 4. If we are not receiving the full strength of signal, means there is some problem in this device. So we have to take full shelter of the technician, spiritual master, so that we can get the full rays of mercy and nectar. So that's how we have to do, by following all these examples of these devotees, Govardhan Hill, Gopis, Nanda Maharaj, Bali Maharaj. How Bali Maharaj, Atma Nivedanam, he surrendered completely to Vamandev, and then he received full mercy. And another point in this particular verse is mentioned that how Lord himself wants to serve such a devotee who is fully surrendered. Lord wants to serve him. He became the driver of Arjuna on the battlefield. He became the driver. So a driver is not a very prestigious position, but he was ready to serve Arjuna. And he became the gatekeeper. So when Vamandev asked for 3 steps of land, and Bali Maharaj was not able to fulfill his promise, because in 2 steps he covered the whole universe. So then he said, where to put the 3rd step? He said, put on my head, like that. So he was so pleased with the surrender of Bali Maharaj that in next he gave him the he gave him the kingdom of Sutala planet, which is very opulent planet actually, and he became the gatekeeper there. Lord himself is the gatekeeper and Bali Maharaj is ruling, and Bali Maharaj has this privilege to become Indra. Indra is a position of king of heaven. So at the moment the demigod who is king of heaven is Purandara in this Manvantara, this era. In the next Manvantara, Bali Maharaj will become the Indra. So that's the boon he got. He didn't want that. So that's the pure devotee doesn't want anything. Gyan karma dhyanavritam. They are devoid of any hankering or lamentation, any tinge of fruitive desire or jnana. So he didn't want any kingdom, but he got so much. So same way when Dhruva Maharaj saw Lord Vishnu, he didn't want anything, but still he got the Dhruva Loka, the pole star, such opulent planet, like that. So that's the qualification. So the real qualification of a pure devotee is he doesn't want anything. He's not motivated that, oh, I'll do this much service and Krishna will give me this much. No. So no motivation for a pure devotee. Ahi tukya pratiyata ya yatma suprasidati. So if we want real satisfaction, we have to get rid of all the desires, material desires. Actually, this week, 2 days back, I was trying to distribute books and met a man, and I was trying to explain, showing pictures from Bhagavad Gita. There is that picture of horses and the chariot. Horses are like the senses, different senses. So I was trying to explain that these senses are wild, you know, and that leads the passenger. Passenger will be in real distress if horses are wild. And The passenger is the soul, driver is the intelligence, reins are the, is the mind, like that. So we have so many desires, that's why these senses are so wild. So we have to control the mind, control the senses, control the mind and senses. So then actually he said, you know, if we just control all the senses, we might as well become like a rock, like a stone. I said, yes, it's like that. If you just control, it's, and that's true, if you just control the senses, it's just like becoming inactive. But our philosophy is param drishtva nivartate. Engage the senses in higher activity, higher taste. So I was trying to explain him how we don't just restrain the senses, but engage them, because to be active is anandmaya vyasa. To be active is the nature of soul, to seek pleasure. So we engage them in a higher pleasure. So by tongue, we chant the glories of Lord, we chant the holy name. By nose, we smell the flowers, flower garlands, flowers, incense offered to Lord. By our eyes, we see the beautiful form of Lord, beautiful deity form. You know, by our ears, we hear this holy name and glories of Lord. By our touch, we touch. By our skin, we touch various items. We touch the beads, we touch touch the book, spiritual book, you know, spiritual items. We touch the prasadam, like that. So we can engage all our senses in these higher activities and become purified. Like that. And actually that man was so depressed. He said he was 61 years old, and he said from 30 years I'm reading these, trying to read these spiritual books. I have all types of Bibles, New Testament, this, that, born again. And, you know, I'm not satisfied, I'm not getting these answers. I said, this book can help you. And I just opened up a page, and just 2.40, verse 2.40 open, just two line translation is there, you know. In this endeavor there is no loss or diminution. And I said, okay, you read. He read in this. I said, even if you read one line, there is no loss, you know. So what's, just you can give printing cost $15, and he took the book, and hopefully he'll get all the help. So these scriptures are there to help us to follow this bhakti process. By reading these scriptures, we can develop this taste. So by regular attendance in Bhagavatam classes, nasht prayashvabhadreshu nityam bhagavat sevaya. So by following, by nityam bhagavat sevaya, by this constant hearing of Bhagavatam, reading of Bhagavatam and other scriptures, we can develop this bhakti process. So I would like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments.
Yes,
please.
Sir, can you
go ahead
and say this? You said envy, because when we can envy, but if somebody says, no, we are here because we are to opposite sex, so what are your comments? We are here because we are to opposite sex.
Yeah, initially it's our envy from Krishna, that why is Krishna enjoying, I want to enjoy also. And then at that moment we fall into the material world, then we get implicated by attraction to opposite gender. So that's the result. So it's like a person does a crime when he's a citizen, he does a crime in the city, for example, he does a crime or theft. So that crime is this envy. And because of that crime, when he's caught and put into jail, then he's put with the shackles. And those shackles, as Prabhupada, the shackles of sex life. So then when he's put into jail, put into material world, then those shackles come, that attraction for opposite gender. So that's, it's like that. That's my understanding.
I thought he wants to enjoy senses, that's why he's doing crime. Because he wants to enjoy the senses.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what happens. So he wants to enjoy separately. So then he's covered by the material senses, and then he tries to enjoy them. But he doesn't get satisfaction. Yeah.
So he has to come to you for bhakti.
Come to Prabhupada and ISKCON and all the experts there. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Sometimes our knee bends and we fall off our hand into the floor.
Mm.
Sometimes, by like, we, even though we don't want to be, but sometimes when we are in hurry, when we are running, and when we actually neglect food, it just drops off. So, what would we do in that situation?
Mm. I would say pick it up, put on your head, maybe sprinkle some water from Achman cup, simple. And for future, try to not rush in different activities, because rushing, as you know, too much rushing and rushing all the time is in mode of passion. So we have to develop this mode of goodness. Mode of goodness means self-control, discipline, and cleanliness, punctuality, like that. So if we are punctual, means we know, okay, I have to do this at this time. Very organized. That's mode of goodness. Very organized. So I have to do this activity. For example, you have to attend Mangal Aarti at 4:30. So you know it's 4:30. So at night you sleep according to that and wake up according to that. So you won't rush. So while coming for Mangal Aarti, you may be doing chanting on the beats rather than running for Mangal Aarti. So you won't drop your beats.
One more question for you.
Yes.
Once we get initiated and we get the beats, we chant on that beat always, or can we chant on a different beat if we want to?
No, best is to chant on the beats on which Guru has chanted. Yeah, of course. Beat bag has to be changed and washed.
Can we buy a new one?
Yeah. Beat bag should be changed. It's like there's different standards actually, and you know, Bhurijan Prabhu has instructed, you know, he instructed Jay Prabhu to change beat bag every day. It's like the dress of beats. So we change our dress every day, so change the beat bag every day. But there are different standards. You can wash bead bag, change a bead bag every day, have few bead bags. Jay Prabhu has maybe 6-7 bead bags, he changes every day. But you can have 2 or 3, you know, change it every 3-4 days and, or 1 week, it's, you know, it's like that. You can change. You have to change, it's, you know, it's like same clothes always. No, it's not good.
On the same point,
yes,
if you have lost the beads, what do you do then?
Yeah, actually, I lost my beads and then luckily I got them back. The beads on which Guru has chanted are very special. So if you have lost them, then when the Guru comes, when you see Guru next time, we take new beads and request him to chant again and then we use that. So that's the thing.
And when our day beads get broken,
Take a new one from Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir temple shop.
Does the neck bead have any certain number of beads in it, or is not?
I'm not sure about number of beads. No, I don't think so. It's just
number of what is that?
The beads. Yeah. No, I don't think so.
So there is no certain number of beads inside the.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything. If anyone has, you can tell me. I haven't heard that there is any special number there. Okay, any other question, comments? Okay, thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanand.